It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin,
Theodore, welcome in to the show, and for the sake of consistency, if you've been listening to the last two shows that were in this time slot over the course of Monday and Tuesday, I guess I should start with Lakers or Cowboys talk. If we just want to stay consistent with what we have had here, mostly because that was ESPN National. We're back. John's back in the building. John's working again, so the schedule goes back to normal. Sean and I are here from 10 to 12. We'll be here throughout the rest of the week. And when last we spoke, Sean, Kyle Tucker could walk without a limp. We were concerned about Javier, but we didn't know the hammer was going to come down on the rest of his. Well, let's be clear: the rest of 2024 and 25, as far as his availability, considering when he's going to have the surgery. The Urquidy news about him being next up for Tommy John broke as well. So the last time we were here, I mean, it wasn't all positive with the Astros, but it wasn't the walking wounded, at least an extension of the walking wounded that it is now. Now we're at a point where the likely rotation the rest of the way until July or August, whenever Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers are deemed ready to come back, it's an Arrigetti who was injured yesterday. He got drilled, and now there's questions about him. He says he thinks he's going to make his next start. He couldn't generate a lot of velocity after he was drilled by a batted ball, so we'll see if he's ready to go in his next start, but he thinks he will. It'll be an Arrigetti. It'll be a Brown. It'll be a Blanco. It'll be a Fromber and a Verlander. A real departure from what we expected this rotation to be. But, hey, the good news is they've won their last two games since we last spoke, at least home games. We haven't talked to you since Friday, but they won their last two games, and I think we have to treat it this way. We have to talk about the Astros game by game, because if we start getting into the overarching themes of the season, it just leads into a negative spiral. Like if we start to actually talk about the injuries, which we will bring up throughout the show today because they happen, particularly the Javier diagnosis, it just devolves into what it always devolves into. They're washed, they're cooked. What's the hope for this team the rest of the way? All we can do is approach game by game. We're going to be real baseball people and go, we approach inning by inning, pitch by pitch, and the Astros bats have woken up, particularly late in the game on Monday and yesterday as well, and they've taken care of the Cardinals. They won a series, and this is a team who had lost a series against a good team the series before against the Twins. And the Cardinals are right where the Astros are, and obviously a little bit better if we look at the schedule. Excuse me, the standings. And these are teams they are fine beating. They have a chance to sweep them with the in the first pitches, I think 1:10. So by the time really the Killer Bees begin, the Astros could be well on their way to sweeping the Cardinals. We'll see how it goes. So look, it's been a run of maybe one step forward, three steps back when you consider the actual on-the-field play, and then you throw in the injuries. But credit Jeremy Peña for his night last night. Yiner Diaz, with some time off, has improved. He's found his power and driving the ball out of the ballpark. And maybe we're at a point where, I'm not going to just say thank Dusty, but maybe we're at a point where Yiner isn't a forward game catcher. When we talk about the rotation, maybe he only catches three games. Maybe he does two and he DHs once. If we're just going to judge by the recent uptick, maybe he's not ready to be a guy who is out there 4 out of 5 when it comes to rotation. The wear and tear of being a catcher may have had its effect. And if Yiner's going to be the hitter that he's been the last couple of times out, I'll take it, because Caratini's fine. I mean, we don't have this giant black hole from the catcher position when it comes to offense. So if Caratini is going to be a guy who's maybe better defensively behind the plate and can also provide some pop, I want the best out of Yiner. and let him catch 2 out of 5 times, maybe 3 out of 5 times through the rotation, and find his way on the field in a DH role. I'm good with that if that's the spot his move.
Yeah, he's not. What we've learned so far is that he's not. I don't want to say not ready, but just still needs to adjust to being a everyday catcher in that everyday catcher kind of role, even beyond the fact that Fromber apparently just is like, nah, no thanks.
I'm out. I'm out on you.
Nah. What did I do wrong, Fromber? I don't know.
I don't really know how to describe it. It's just a feeling.
Yeah. Just when you tell me a pitch to throw, my first reaction is,
I don't want to. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything you can do differently. I don't know. But despite that, I think some of his hitting struggles could be linked to the fact that it is a different job, what he's being asked to do this year as opposed to last year, where he was primarily a DH and then a backup catcher, to where now he is catching, or at least at the start of the season, he's catching 4 out of 5 days. So that could be some of it, where Caratini coming in and getting a little bit more of the reps behind the plate, that could be something that not only is helping the pitchers, but also helping Yiner with the bat.
I think all positivity. I'm all in on the positivity as far as judging them game by game. And, well, yes, when you win games, I'm good with that. And
these two games, I'm good with judging them off of these two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a better way of approaching it than what we have done, and it's simply expecting them to turn around and looking at the standings and thinking, well, if they win 4 out of 5 here and the Mariners drop a couple, they could be right back in it. I'm exhausted by that.
Yeah.
Just let's enjoy the games as they are. And last night was enjoyable, just kind of, because you had the Javier thing hanging over you, but you also had the injuries to Argetti, and then obviously Bregman dealt with what he dealt with, and the Tucker thing is still going to be an issue. And I think Espada before the game said Tucker was still walking with crutches, so he may have an extensive time away from the team as he tries to get healthy, but we expect it not to be long term. But they do get the win, and it was a night for Jeremy Peña. It was a night for Yiner Diaz. In fact, Jeremy Peña was asked about his performance last night and the team's performance overall. You know, after the game, the performer of the night gets to talk to Julie Morales, and she started off with Peña, and you know, he's consistent with we're seeing the ball better, we just got to keep it up, and then he also praised Yiner Diaz.
Let's keep it simple and sticking to what works for me. Just putting the barrel on the ball and going from there.
You also had a great defensive play, just all around. I mean, how good does it feel when you put a game like that together?
I mean, we've been playing good ball. Yeah, no, we've been playing good ball. Yiner, big homer. We're playing great defense. The pitcher staff coming through. We got to keep it going.
What are you seeing from Yiner right now?
I feel like he's got a swagger. And you could tell when he's got a swagger at the plate and when he's hitting homers backside. You know, that's when he's going at his best. So, I think he's going to keep it going.
Yeah, Yiner Diaz with a 3-run homer last night. Astros went 8-5. I would like to see less of Gorman, though. He has had a good series against the Astros, a guy who overall is only hitting 235, but he's hit the ball out of the ballpark against the Astros this series. A little less of him, but the Astros were able to survive, and the bullpen was stretched more than they thought they were going to be once Argetti had to leave, and they found their way through. I mean, Mashinsky wasn't great, Taylor Scott was okay, and Martinez, you know, those three guys gave up runs, and then they got to Abreu, who apparently is the Astros, if we go by the numbers, Sean, he's the clutchest Astro this year. It's just baseball numbers. They
a little surprising, but
yeah,
it's not exactly. I mean,
there's not a lot of great choices.
I was going to say before the Cardinals series, there's not actually that many clutch performers.
Yeah, the numbers tell you the Astros are the worst clutch team in baseball.
That's
right. And my human eyes tell me that too. I mean, I'm not watching every other team play, but it feels like the Astros have been so bad in the clutch that they have to be at the bottom, and the numbers tell you that they are.
Yes, your eyeballs are right. This team stinks.
Yes,
in the clutch.
If you were complaining all season long about how the Astros aren't the Astros because they're not clutch and it feels like they never come through, you're right. You're correct in your analysis because the baseball numbers have the Astros as the clear worst team in all of baseball when it comes to clutch performers. And shout out to Brian Abreu for being the tallest little person on the list. There's a different way to describe that. It might hit harder, but we can no longer use that word anymore.
No.
So we have to go with little people. And Brian Abreu leads the list when it comes to the Astros. That's one of their problems.
Thank you for cleaning up that saying, or else we would have had to gone to Greeny for the rest of the show.
Well, that would have been consistent with the first couple shows this week. Greeny has taken over the 10 to 12 slot. But we're back. We'll continue to talk Astros. There are some rumors, and it's rumor time. And these come up when there's no games in the NBA to talk about. The finals begin tomorrow. That the Rockets are in talks with the Nets for Mikal Bridges, according to one report. And then there's another report that says the Rockets aren't feeling Mikal Bridges like they were earlier this season. So we'll discuss that. We'll hear from Jake Fisher. He was on a Nets-centric podcast talking about Mikal Bridges and what the Rockets might think of him. And we'll also read you some of what Kevin O'Connor said from The Ringer, who has discussed the Rockets possibly trading for Mikal Bridges and what it might take to get him. So we'll get into that. Sean has been tasked with coming up with this, with the show's college football song. We're both big college football guys. He doesn't have to create an original. That's not what he has to do. He just has to find something that says college football. And we have a segment we're going to get to because a couple things happened. Sean sent me a cover of a magazine and then had something funny to say about it. So we'll discuss that. And also some guys who probably should be in a College Football Hall of Fame that aren't. So we'll get to that as well. Other things to get to, bullying works, if you haven't heard. It partly led to Angel Hernandez's dismissal. We'll talk about where that comes from. And also, is my name for Brent Strom out of pocket? I'll have Sean judge me because the guys in the morning don't like it. We'll get Sean's opinion. If you have an opinion on anything beyond what we've talked about, in fact, we had people call in and ask, how come we're not talking about Copa America? I would say, maybe we're not going to do a two-week preview of Copa America. Maybe we'll talk about the games when they happen. But hey, anything is on the table. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to talk about that or anything else. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Astros have announced officially now that both Urquidy and Christian Javier are undergoing elbow surgery and are out for the remainder of the season. And considering when these surgeries are going to take place, let's just wipe away 2025 too. Let's get that out of the way right now. Those guys aren't pitching in 2025. Urquidy is having his today. Javier's will have his on Thursday. And the recent spate of Astros arm injuries, and it's not that recent. It's been going on really since 2022. And it's not unique to them. It is a baseball thing. Is it because of the willingness or the want to push spin rate up to the front of what they want from their pitchers? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I will play a slanderer on the radio. Sean, do you think the nickname The Butcher for Brent Strom is too strong? Because this is what I've come up with. Now, the injuries really took hold after he left, but I think the Astros are certainly still implementing his thoughts on pitching. And I think if we're talking about the arms and what has been done to them, I point to one source. The Butcher of Bel Air, Brent Strom.
The Butcher of Bel Air. Come on. That feels strong.
It's strong, you think?
Because it's a league-wide issue. It's something that everyone in the...
Sure, but I don't know the pitching coaches for the other guys. I don't know their names. I know Brent Strami. I know Strami, the beloved Strami.
And I don't know why I'm going to help you tear down the great name of Strom, but you could say that he was kind of on the cutting edge of chasing this.
I think he was. The Astros are one of those teams who were at the forefront of spin rate back then.
Back then, they were on the forefront of stuff.
Looking
at the back of the base. They're no longer looking forward. They're now looking back.
They're now like card collectors. Someone pulled out like a folder of basketball cards that have been around here for probably over a decade. They're all like cards of guys who've been in the NBA, who haven't been in the NBA for like 20 years. You can find
Mark Price.
Mark Price. That's what the Astros are now, looking at the back of a card like a card collector and going, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
A Mutombo rookie card.
Yeah, that's how old those cards are. I don't know who they belong to. They're probably worth something. In fact, I don't know why I'm making that be known. We should probably find a way to make some money off those cards. I don't know how much you make now. I don't know how much basketball cards are worth anymore.
I'll look into it.
There's a way to make some money off those cards, right?
Surely there's a way. At the very least, we could make it like, hey, it's a lottery. You never know what you're going to get instead of going in and looking at the value for every single one of these, what's a Donyell Marshall rookie
card? It's at least enough to pay for my early access to EA College Football 25. It's at least enough for that. 30 bucks. I think I could at least scrounge up 30 bucks for each of us for those cards.
To get the deluxe version?
Yeah. Yeah, at least. But so Brent the Butcher, too strong.
I know what you're saying.
For the sake of...
But it's more than...
It's more than him.
It's more than him. It's more than just the Astros.
But considering the tone of this show...
Yes, it does fit the tone.
Yes.
Of slandering
someone. If you guys are really...
Slandering a great man.
Really... if you guys are really... He's a great man. He's a pitching coach. I don't know how great of a man he is. He might be a tremendous
2017
person.
2017 World
Series. He might be a tremendous person, but we're just talking about... We're talking about him as a pitching coach. He's a great pitching coach. I don't know him as a person. I'm sure he's a great man. For the sake of this show and what's going on with the Astros, and really just to make light of it, because if we get into the serious nature of what's going on with those pitchers, it gets a little bit depressing. So Brent the Butcher is to blame, even though I really know he's not. So if you are a giant fan of him, just trust me. It's all said, I wouldn't say in love, but in
tongue-in-cheek.
I don't really think Brent the Butcher has everything to do with what's happening. But part of it, and his philosophy, sure. But it's a baseball philosophy at this point.
Has he ever coached Christian Javier? Like, was he on the Astros at the same time as Brent Strom?
I don't want to look up facts, Sean, for my story. Don't help my story.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
Hey, what are we doing? Only if the facts support my argument will I bring them up. And Javier made his major league debut in 2020, so the answer is yes. He did have an effect. And he was in the organization before then, too. So Brent Strom, responsible, even if he's really not. I mentioned before we went to break about the Rockets. The Rockets are a team that's going to be discussed heavily, partly because this draft isn't very strong, and there's an inclination for the Rockets, at least a belief in the Rockets, that they're going to try to make a push this year. And how do you make a push? You go get yourself a star to team with your young core, and that core will be broken up because you're going to have to send players out, and you're going to have to send players out that people want. And part of that, it's not a player, but it's a hypothetical one, in the third overall pick. So that has been in question. Will the Rockets move it? Will they not? Kelly Eiko. Eiko. I always get it wrong. Eiko, right? Kelly Eiko of The Athletic. I believe he's an intern here at one point. Says the Rockets are not trading for Mikal Bridges. The Rockets are really excited about the prospect of drafting at three, which flies in the face of what one Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer thinks. He is a basketball reporter for them. He does a mock draft for them. He's not specifically their college basketball guy, but when it's mock draft time, when it's NBA draft time, he creates this. In fact, it's a big, actually extravagant website where you can look at all the prospects and along with the mock draft. He thinks the Rockets are in line to use the third overall pick plus filler and actual prospects. The Nets might want to acquire Mikal Bridges. That's a name that's been connected with the Rockets, at least through reports and rumors, for the last 6 months or so, really since before the trade deadline. Jake Fisher, though, another reporter who covers the NBA, was on a Nets-centric podcast talking about the Nets' plan for the future. And certainly they asked him about the future of Mikal Bridges, who disappointed this year when you compare it to how he finished the 2022 season, considering he was traded for Kevin Durant, and then he showed things people didn't think he had in him. The 2022-23 season was one where we thought Mikal Bridges could turn into a star. And then he kind of reverted back to maybe maybe not a lesser version, but a guy who just didn't live up to the potential that we saw. He was back to kind of the Phoenix Mikal Bridges with more usage, kind of what we saw. So is he a guy who is worth the number three overall pick? According to Jake Fisher, the Rockets feel less strongly about him than they did before.
The Nets were always kind of hoping that they would not fully rebuild and they could keep this thing kind of afloat in the 6-8 seed range while they then, you know, build back up again. So to me, a rebuild like that would be a very drastic pivot if a deal with Houston happened. And I think Houston probably, for my conversations, values Mikal a little bit less than when those conversations were happening, just based off of how this year unfolded. I think it would be more of like a hybrid, are you getting other players back type of thing. I don't think the Nets would ever move him at this juncture to pull the rug out and start fresh.
So the Rockets feel less strongly about Mikal Bridges than they once did. And if we're going back to what Kelly said, if they stay at three, if the Rockets are taking, or he sees that the Rockets could take Reed Shepard, that's Gen Z Rex Chapman, as we've called him on this show, or Stephon Castle, the guard for Connecticut. He was big for them this year, part of their second title team in a matter of years. So those are a couple of options for the Rockets. It appears that the backcourt is where they will go, which means they're kind of strengthening a strength. I think the Rockets are strongest as far as depth and talent when it comes to the backcourt and the wing positions. Not a lot of minutes to go around when you consider if Jalen Green's still around and, you know, Cam Whitmore needs his minutes. And clearly Fred VanVleet's going to have a say there as their starting point guard. So are they drafting a backup, or are they drafting a guy who supplants a guy, and then the guy that gets supplanted gets traded? Those are the options for the Rockets. This show has pretty much sided with trade that pick if you can go get yourself a real star. I don't classify Mikal Bridges as a real star. He's a nice complimentary player. If you want Mikal Bridges, you want him to be a good three like he was on the Suns. That's what you want. The problem was DeAndre Ayton was the two, so maybe you wanted him to be the two.
DeAndre Ayton.
He was the two.
He was.
That's what I'm saying. You want?
Well, no, Chris Paul.
Hey, Chris Paul was. Older Chris Paul was the guy, the facilitator, and he was effective. So okay, I'll give you that. So then, is Mikal Bridges the four on that Suns team?
I think him and Ayton
swap back 3A.
Yeah, neither of them were 3B. Consistent enough. To have one on it wasn't exactly Bosh, Wade, and LeBron.
Yeah,
as far as a big three goes,
yeah,
it wasn't exactly.
If Mikal Bridges can't outplay DeAndre Ayton, even at the three, as far as hierarchy on your team, maybe you don't give the number three overall pick for him, plus whatever else it'll take to get him. So that's where we stand as far as the Rockets are concerned. Just conflicting reports, and Kelly Eco's reports are coming out today. Maybe in response to what's been coming out the last couple of days regarding what Jake Fisher has said and what Kevin O'Connor said. So that's still in flux. We're still about 3+ weeks away from the draft. That's late June. And it's on 2 days now. First round is it a Wednesday?
I'll
look it up. But the NBA has decided the second round needs its own day. I think there's a logistical reason they're doing it too. It's not just about, hey, we want to showcase our draft over the course of a few days.
Well, because the second day, it starts at like 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's 3 in the afternoon. It's not exactly prime time for us.
I kind of love it for the second. I mean, it's already ridiculous that the second round's on its own day. And then they're just like, you know what? Let's just get it over with. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
The real problem was people felt like they had to stay up for the second round of the draft. We'll just get rid of that one. Well, you don't have to stay up for this.
So the NBA league, NBA teams asked the league to separate the draft in the 2 days to give the give them a bigger window to prepare for the second round. And there's also like a planning thing involved as well. That's not just about the teams asking for it. So the first round is June 26th. Second round is June 27th. And as Sean mentioned, it'll start at 3 p.m. our time. What are we, the NHL or baseball draft? What are we doing? Are we the baseball draft now?
The second round of the NBA draft. And yes, you know, you can throw out all the people that have been drafted in the second round and been great. For the most part,
three-time MVP?
You don't need to be watching. Yeah, he got drafted in the middle of a Taco Bell commercial. Congrats.
And they were... It's a great story, and that's the best part of that. It's the best part of his.
It is, but every single person who watches the second round of the draft now has to be like, you know, I'm watching this. They might just, like, the most impactful person in this second round might get drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. Why am I watching this? I can just get it on, just give me the list after they're done.
Or you can be on Twitter and watch someone say, Team X is targeting strongly this player, which is just their way of saying this guy's getting drafted by the team.
This guy is getting drafted.
Yeah.
They need to finish interviewing the previous pick's mom before they get to this.
We can't interview guys' moms in the second round.
No.
That's
why I'm glad that they didn't try to put it like how the NFL draft is, where they're both in prime time. Second round does not need to be in prime time, guys.
It's like baseball.
It's like baseball. It's guys that you might never see or you might see 3 years from now.
Yeah, you can delude yourself into watching them in the summer league and saying, I see something here.
It's not exactly the Rockets drafting Thompson last year, where you're like, you know what? I know this guy will play a part in this year's Rockets. It's the second round. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, a Rockets second round pick, considering all the young talent they already have, is destined for the Vipers. If he even makes...
I was going to say.
Even if he gets a contract or... Yeah. Oh, come on. Don't ruin the hypothetical player's dream already. Destined for Europe.
Yeah, enjoy Croatia, buddy.
I would pick Greece. Maybe Turkey's crazy. Have you seen some of their was it Turkey or was it Serbia? One of the games where they're playing outside
where there's like flares.
And there's flares and flames surrounding the court. Nikola Jokic.
I don't want to say, it doesn't matter, it's all the same.
But yeah, that's insulting. Nikola Jokic.
For our purposes.
Sure.
Doesn't matter. It's Serbia or Croatia or Turkey or
Nikola Jokic.
One of those countries.
Nikola Jokic is like, you think I'm concerned about going to Dallas for a playoff series? I got to deal with a court surrounded by flames outside. Yeah. I'm good.
Do you think that's why they lost Game 7 at home? Because he was like looking around. It's like, where are all the flares?
Why are
people threatening Carl Anthony Towns? It would work.
We could use that joke if he hadn't won a title the year before. If he had consistently underperformed, like, look, guys, not used to this relatively mundane environment. You got to hype him up to get him ready.
Didn't face a game seven last year.
Swept the river. Because of that soft-ass run he had. We know. Let's kill his run because that's what NBA discourse is all about. The Celtics are in the midst of it right now. They'll get a chance to at least win a title. That series doesn't begin till tomorrow. Finally, the NBA is back with the finals. Game one, Celtics-Mavs in Boston. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We have a couple other things to get to in that segment as well. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Eric didn't get a chance to call us the last couple days because we weren't around, so let's welcome Eric to the show. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Hey, Del. Great show. I was wondering, would there be a package deal for Jalen Green and that pick? Have you heard anything about J.J. Redick becoming the Lakers coach? And what do you think of the new Batman movie with the new Joker? Do you think it would be good? And Del, you have a happy Juneteenth weekend. I hang up and listen.
What was the final thing he said? Did you catch that, Sean?
Have a happy Juneteenth weekend.
Oh, Juneteenth. Okay, there's the nonsense. Okay, I was wondering when it was coming. I thought the Batman stuff would have been the nonsensical thing, but yeah, it was. There it is. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the well wishes.
Juneteenth is like 2 weeks from now.
Well, maybe he's not going to call in until.
Okay. He's going on vacation?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's getting busy the next couple weeks. Yeah, you probably should have held that one back, Eric. Held that in the holster because now you can't make that joke again. I'm sure you'll come up with something else. So let's start from the top. Will Jalen Green be packaged along with the pick for a player? I think it's in the realm of possibility. I don't think Jalen Green is seen as untouchable by the Rockets. If they find that he is required by a team in their pursuit of a star, I think he's gone. There are financial concerns for Jalen Green they're going to have to consider. They don't have to do it this offseason. It could be something that comes up next offseason, but it will come up at some point. Jalen Green, it's hard for me to say he hasn't lived up to his potential because he's not even 24 years old. Is he even 23 yet?
I think he's like 21 or 22.
But so it's hard for me to say he hasn't lived up to his potential. I think we kind of fast forward where players should be in their developmental arc. So I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, he's 22.
22, so not even 23 yet. But I will say what he has shown isn't enough to make the Rockets think we can't find an upgrade, even if it costs us him plus others to get it done. And I think I won't call it an issue, but because of who they hired and all the losing that went on the seasons prior, they're looking to make a move. And slow development, and even if it's Jalen Green and to his benefit for a slow developmental arc, isn't what they're looking for. They jumped up and got to 41 wins, and Rafael Stone thinks they should have won more games. We heard him say it. They gave away games, or as he would say, tricked off games. So they want to be better. They think they should be a playoff team, and I'm not sure Jalen Green in year four is going to be the guy who they need him to be. And I'm not saying he won't be that guy. I just don't think he'll be that guy next year. And if a playoff appearance and maybe more than that is what they're looking for, he could be part of a package to go get themselves a guy who's an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be for Mikal Bridges.
No.
That was at the trade deadline. The price of brick has gone down.
For Mikal Bridges.
On Mikal Bridges.
Yes. It's
actually, not that interested. But if it is going to be for a Donovan Mitchell type, any other star that breaks free of their situation this offseason, that's where it becomes more possible. But for, again, just any old run-the-mill, like, an upgrade at a starter for a starting position, probably not. Also because there's just way more matching salary with guys like Dylan Brooks and even like Jayshon Tate, Steven Adams. Those are the guys that are probably more likely to be traded because they can be traded in a lesser move. Not just Jalen Green is only it gets moved in the, oh my God, they just traded for a star move,
yeah,
which might not happen.
Yeah, he would be likely the centerpiece along with the third overall pick for the star. They would have to find a team with a star that loves Jalen Green and thinks he can be a guy who is a lead guard on a really good team. That's part of the process. I don't think you're trading a star unless you're desperate and the star has made a demand that you know you have to trade him or you're going to lose him. And the Cavs might be in that realm, but I don't think you're trading a star for someone you don't think can be a star in the future. And Jalen Green certainly has that star potential. I'll bring up this trade for you, Sean, because we're in that mode and we're talking about it. Bleacher Report, which this is pretty much their trade. This is how they get people interested in their articles. They make trades up with no real basis for it, but they put numbers together. They go, hey, someone might want out. What will it take to get them?
Hey, what about this?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much what they do. So we've talked about Jimmy Butler before. You've talked about how the costs would certainly determine how much you would want him on the team monetarily and what you have to give up.
Yeah.
So this is the trade from Bleacher Report. Dylan Brooks, I think you're fine with giving up.
For Jimmy Butler.
Yes. The number 3 overall pick. Are you still good with that?
Yes, but
it's getting rough.
We're getting close.
Because remember, Jimmy's going to want a max extension.
Yep. That is in the back of my head. We are getting close to hanging up, but keep going.
They've added Cam Whitmore to the deal.
Dial tone.
And then, and they're not done.
Okay, good.
They added Amen Thompson to the deal.
Just know I've already hung up.
Sorry, sorry, Pat. I didn't hear the Amen Thompson request. I've already hung up.
Oh, Amen Thompson.
Yeah, that's the last.
That's more. That's more than the Miami Heat traded to get him. Like, what are we talking
about?
It's
true. He was a very
5 years ago.
Well, the Sixers. He was out of a contract, and no sign and trade occurred.
They traded Josh Richardson and Hassan Whiteside for
him. And not even all to the Sixers. The Sixers only got Josh Richardson, I think maybe a pick, and they had to give up a first. They had to give Portland a first rounder to take on some way. They had to give up a first rounder to take on Hassan Whiteside. So yeah, and this is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's esteem has gone up since the playoff runs. There was some question about how good he was and could he lead a team to great heights as the number one option. He's proven that he can. But he was also like 29, 30 years old. He's now 34, going to be 35 in September. That's a lot to give up for a guy who is...
That might be the most he's ever been traded for. Yes. Like that hypothetical trade.
That is a lot.
Because he's been traded 3 times now.
Yeah, the Rockets would have to be giving up more than any of the other teams did when he's at the end of his career.
Okay, I guess the Timberwolves gave up Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine. Okay. And Lauri Markkanen, but that, I think that was a draft pick that turned into Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, and this was before Lauri Markkanen turned into what he is now.
Yes.
We at least have some evidence who Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, and Cam Whitmore are.
The Sixers traded the Timberwolves, sent this to the Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler. Jared Bayless, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and 2 second-round picks.
While Jimmy was in his prime, not the version the Rockets would be
getting. Yeah, that was in 2018.
Yeah. So, Bleacher Report, you're out of pocket. Relax. That's not what's going to happen. The Rockets aren't that desperate. I know they want to upgrade and be a contender, but they're not. I don't think they're that desperate. What else did Eric ask about? He asked about
Batman.
Batman, but there was another sports topic as well. Yeah, we forgot. It's Eric. It doesn't really matter that much, right? Eric, you call back in tomorrow if we didn't get to it. The Batman thing, I don't know much about the new Joker. Is he talking about Batman? Is he talking about Batman with Matt Reeves, or is he talking about... I don't know which Batman he's talking about.
The Batman.
The Batman with Matt Reeves with Robert Pattinson as a Batman. You gotta sometimes I'll look it up for you, Eric, but you gotta be a little bit more clear. There are too many Batmans to think about right now.
Batman.
Yes. There's Batman and there's
a Batman.
There are multiple Jokers now. So I'm not sure. But Eric, appreciate the call. Anyone else wants to get in? 713-780-3776. I've talked about the NBA Finals and their return. You can't bet on whether the Rockets are going to make a trade, I don't think. I'm sure there's a prop on Jimmy Butler's next team. My bookie will have that for you. If that's the deal Bleacher Report's putting out there, I'm going to say Rockets, a long shot. But you can place your bets on the next star to get moved. My bookie will have that for you. Or maybe you're just into the games and you want to bet on the Astros sweeping the series against the Cardinals and you like Ronel Blanco this afternoon. Go to my bookie for that. I'm giving you all these options because of MyBookie's tagline. You know, they tell you, bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. That's what MyBookie provides for you, a chance to bet on your favorite thing or maybe something you don't really know a lot about. They provide experts for you who will walk you through how to make that money. If you are a new customer, use the sign-up bonus and you use the promo code for that, bet975. Up to $1,000 for new customers. And if you're a returning customer, an existing customer, you can use Bet975 for that too. If you are into more than just sports gambling and you like the casino aspect of MyBookie, they have live dealers. They'll deal you those cards. If you like casino games, if you like card games, MyBookie is the place you go to. It's kind of your one-stop shop for sports betting. Don't be left out in the cold. Don't let your friends like John Granato types advise you on how to place bets. Because if you're listening to Granato, he'll cost you money. He told his friend to get off the Mavericks when they're 25-1 and win the finals. And now, look at him. Use the experts there. Once again, anything, anywhere, anytime, MyBookie. That's anything, anywhere, anytime. Just go to MyBookie.ag.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Astros General Manager Dana Brown made his weekly appearance on 790. Here are some quotes. If you were concerned about the rotation, Dana Brown, not so much. He believes this is still a playoff rotation. I don't know the context of that. Does he think Garcia, McCullers are coming back and that makes it a playoff rotation? Or does he simply think the trio of Blanco, Arrigetti, and Brown will supplement Fromber and Verlander? I don't know. Still to be determined, I guess, as far as the health of Garcia and McCullers. But he says our rotation is still intact and it's a playoff rotation. Losing Urquidy and Javier is unfortunate, but we're still in a position to make a run and it's not time to hit the panic button. And he says the goal is to get back to 500. Yeah, it's true. You're six games below. At some point, if we're going to have real conversations about making a run, being at least a 500 baseball team has to happen. You'd like it to happen before the end of, I'm not even going to give them June, the middle of July. You get back to 500 before the middle of July. Okay. And then we'll have a discussion and we'll see where the Mariners are, because, you know, it's not just about the Astros. The Mariners continue to play well. And if they continue to play well, it doesn't really matter what you do, because you don't beat them. You would actually have to beat the teams ahead of you. The Astros haven't done much of that, mostly because the Mariners are a good baseball team. The Astros haven't handled good baseball teams all year long. The stats are out to let you know. They get going this afternoon against a not-so-great baseball team. And we know Blanco's on the mound. Bregman's back in the two-hole once again. So if you're wondering about the lineup before they get started, it's what we've seen the last couple of nights. Singleton's in the lineup, hitting fifth, Yiner, sixth, Cabbage at seventh, Abreu, eighth, Dubon, ninth. So if you had thoughts about Abreu not playing, he's in there. He didn't play yesterday, but he will play today. He will be eighth and hitting, playing first base. You know, Abreu has less hits than a break in a three-hour show. He has 11.
Oh, my God.
It's just giving you some context. You run more breaks in Gallant and George than he has hits.
That's tough. I'll admit it. That's tough for my guy.
It's tough.
My guy.
Your guy. He's not your guy. We don't got to lie on the show. He ain't your guy. You've designated him bad vibes guy. That's fine. He's not your guy. It's cool.
He's not a bad vibes guy in the clubhouse. He's a bad vibes guy in my living room when I'm having to watch him.
He's a bad vibes guy.
Just when I see him.
Yeah.
Even Jeremy Pena made a good play. I think it was like a dribbler he threw at a Cardinal. And I was like, wow, what a play as the ball is traveling. And then I just get reminded that it's Jose Abreu. And he caught the ball. He did nothing wrong.
He didn't screw it up or anything.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Jose Abreu is still out here. I saw he raised his average.
I said he didn't play yesterday. He did. He had four at bats. That's my mistake. He had four at bats, one hit, and he raised his average 6 points. He was 1-for-4, raised his average 6 points. Well, anything right now, because he was at 115 yesterday.
Yeah, just don't go 1-for-10 and you raise your average.
Yeah, he's played the last three nights. He'll play three games, and he'll play this afternoon as well. So Jose Abreu in the lineup consistently, despite your concerns, despite your aggravation about it. He's not Cal Ripken.
He's played four straight games now.
It feels like it. The Iron Man, Jose Abreu. Out there the entire time, dashing Astros fans' hopes of seeing someone else out there.
And it's not like I'm a huge John Singleton guy either.
No one's a huge John Singleton guy. He's been elevated by really default because it's either him or the other guy that no one wants to see. And without Loperfido up here, you don't even have the hope of a young guy playing.
Yeah.
And Dubon, you'd like to see at first base, but you got to use him in other spots too. He'll be in the lineup today, so. And injuries, the Kyle Tucker injury is going to make it more likely that Jose Abreu gets more at-bats. Just how it is.
Can Trey Cabbage play first?
Well.
I never thought I would say, can I see some Trey Cabbage?
He's playing right field. Please? Today.
Okay. So I will get to see some Trey Cabbage.
Not in the spot you want him to.
No.
But you will see him out there. It is not all a spot as fault. Not a spot as fault. Some of it has to do with the injuries. If Kyle Tucker was healthy, maybe you would get your wish.
A lifelong wish to watch Trey Cabbage play first.
You, that's a sad existence. You need bigger dreams.
It's like my
dream bigger.
24-hour wish since he's gotten called up.
Yeah. It hasn't been a lifelong dream. It's been really since you last slept. you wanted him up.
This morning. I was like, you know what?
You know what would be a great thing for me?
Just to mix it up today? No one would make today a great day. Trey Cabbage.
You got him, but not in the spot you wanted him. So the Astros tried to get the sweep today. And my favorite Astro, Ronel Blanco, on the mound, trying to bounce back from his last start.
Yeah. The ace of the staff.
That's right. He's the ace.
He hasn't been ruined by the Butcher.
Thankfully, the Butcher was long gone before Blanco got up to the big leagues, at least had a big role in the big leagues. So I think that timing, because who knows what his elbow would look like, his UCL would look like.
Lord knows.
If not for Brent Strom being gone before Blanco became a big contributor to this Astros team. And thankfully for him and for us, Strommy's in Arizona.
You know what? I've come around on the Butcher.
I think it's a great name. Even if it's over the top, I like it.
I just like assigning blame to someone, and just fair or unfair. It's like, no, the reason all these guys' elbows explode is because
if we don't blame Brent Strom, then we have to really dive deep in what the hell they're doing over there. And I'd rather not get into digging into guys who are currently being paid by them to make sure this doesn't happen.
Yeah,
blame the guy who's no longer around.
It's a little bit like after Tom Thibodeau leaves your favorite basketball team, where you just go like, you know why these guys are breaking down? The old coach. Man,
yeah.
He ran them into the ground. Just watch. The Knicks are going to do this in 2025. Right. I guarantee you.
He ran them into the ground this year.
By 2026, it'll just be like, man, what happened to Josh Hart? Oh, wait, it's because he was working double shifts for 3 straight years.
Overtime in the NBA for Josh Hart.
He was playing 53 minutes a game.
It did happen a couple times when they went to overtime. Josh Hart and the Villanova crew had a good run. How long it'll last will probably be determined by their injury rating in 2K. If we're attributing that to real life, because Tom Thibodeau is going to push that to the limit as he tries to make the Knicks champions.
Tom Thibodeau, the Brent Strom of the NBA? Question mark.
The Butcher of Broadway.
Effective, but at what cost?
Yeah. Jose Urquidy was asked, what did it take? Everything.
Yeah.
It took everything.
It's like the Russian army, just throwing bodies at the problem.
Yeah. Cannon fodder, the Astros rotation. Absolute cannon fodder. We have talked about maybe not our love for Chipotle, because both of us have used it as lunch when we've worked here. Sean less so because of his schedule's changed over time. It happens to all of us. Schedules change. Our eating habits change. But the CEO of Chick-fil-A, I keep saying Chick-fil-A. Maybe that's what I want for lunch today. The CEO of Chipotle has responded to your concerns. The filming of his employees, the accusations that they're screwing people over their portions. We hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.